Good morning, happy Sabbath. He's beginning to turn this mic on. Technology, but we gotta have it, right? Amen, amen. Good to see everybody out this morning. Those who are watching via social media also, thank you for viewing in. And just a reminder, I'd like to mention this is the 570th day of the war in Ukraine. I'm getting all these countries mixed up. So much going on in the world in Ukraine. So, but we know God has a purpose for everything that He does and that He allows to happen as well. So, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, so much for being our Creator, for being our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, our God, and most of all, our friend, because that makes it personal. You're not far some billions of years away, or distance, or light years, wherever we may use, but you're right here with us, guiding us, comforting us, being with us, letting us know that you love us and care for us and want the best for us. So thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In his name we do pray, amen. So, I know the title says The Week in Review. And you may be thinking, okay, well, what happened this week and what's he gonna talk about and that kind of thing. But it's not quite gonna be about that. It's gonna be about a week that can be put in question. And that is the creation week, the seventh day week that God instituted is in question. And when that is in question, everything that falls under that comes in question. But did God create the world in 7 days? Was it a literal day, or was it 1,000 years for each day the Bible says? And, you know, or did we come about because of evolution and all that kind of stuff? So when you do that, everything else in the Bible, if you can dispute creation week, you can dispute everything else. Well, the flood didn't happen, or the Jericho didn't happen, or everything else is just a fairy tale. So we're going to go over why this week is important and some other seven-day periods that have taken place in the Bible. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 1, we know that's a very familiar verse. It says what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the clear word, it brings it out a little more forcefully. Well, not forcefully, but a little clearer. It says, this earth, so that earth that we have, that we're on, began by an act of God. Not accident. Not the Big Bang Theory. You know, the God may have used whatever he did to get this earth or this world started, but it wasn't an accident. It didn't just, okay, all of a sudden there's this small ball of matter so dense and hot and tight and then, no. God spoke it, this universe, into existence. This earth began by an act of God. He created the heavens and the earth. So we see that God created this world. He created space, matter, and time. And so with the universe, we got telescopes, we got satellites, we got Voyager 1 has left our solar system. It's way out there. I mean, too far to me even try to imagine. So that's proof that there is space. This earth that we live on, everything that we see, we have, we touch, we feel, that's proof that there is matter. But this thing about time, even scientists have said, well, is time real? Is it relative? Does it matter where you are and what's going on? So time, is that just a natural result of matter and space being created? Or was it instituted by God himself? So we're going to go over a couple things. First, we want to look at, now there's a picture of our solar system. And so you can see the earth there. Let me see if I got the right button. Here we go. So we're going to look at the daily cycle. I know you didn't come for a science lesson, but This is all part of God's plan. So the daily cycle. So how do we determine the daily cycle? That's right. The earth spins on its axis or rotates on its axis every 24 hours. Now, if you get technical, it's not really 24 hours. It's 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4 seconds. But who's counting? It's 24 hours. We just round it off. All right. So that's how we get our daily cycle. So the day, 24-hour period, we can attribute that to the earth rotating on its axis. That's out there. We can measure that. So we can, if you want to, you can put God aside if you want to on that. You say, oh, well, that's because of the way the earth rotates. All right, let's look at the monthly cycle. Okay, we're talking about the lunar cycle, okay? So the lunar monthly cycle, how do we determine how long the month is? Well, it's based on the phases of the moon. And so the moon goes through its phases every 30 days. But technically, actually, it's 29.53 days. So anyone who studies astronomy, I know Brian, he's into that kind of thing. So we can appreciate being down to the actual last measurement. So it's actually 29.53 days. And depending upon how you measure it, that can vary to 28 days. So, but we round up to 30. We say 30 days, 31, depending on how we look at it. All right, so we can attribute that to celestial bodies or astronomical events that we can actually measure, okay? So thirdly, let's look at the yearly cycle. So we know the Earth goes through spring, summer, fall, winter, and starts over. And that's based on what? Does Earth revolving around the sun or orbiting the sun every what? 365 days a year. But actually, I know you're waiting for that. Actually, it's every 365.25 days. And how do we know that? Because we have a leap year every 4 years. So 0.25, you do that 4 times, every fourth year, there's a leap year. So we can measure the daily cycle, the monthly cycle, the yearly cycle, based on celestial bodies and how they orbit, how they rotate, and those different cycles. I think I got another one. There it is. Another one showing the yearly cycle, the different phases and, you know, seasons, whatever. So, but now we come to the weekly cycle. All right, so what is the weekly cycle based on? Is it based on any astronomical event? Is it based on any celestial body that we can measure and say, okay, between these bodies of planets or stars, whatever, we can get every 7 days? There you go. Based on God's word. So before we go to what the Bible says, I looked up a few sources, and I want to bring up what they say. One's kind of negative, one's kind of positive. So astronomy.com. It says that the Babylonians instituted the 7-day weekly cycle based on the 7 brightest objects that they could see in the night sky. You know, they didn't have telescopes and all that kind of stuff that we have now. They could just, whatever they could see, that's what they saw. So they say that it was based upon, they could see the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And of course, all the stars, so they couldn't pick out individual stars, but these were the brightest ones they could see. And say, okay, because these are the 7 brightest, we're going to have a 7-day week. Well, that's an arbitrary number somebody just picked out. It's not based on anything. And they also, astronomy.com says that the Jews adopted the weekly cycle from the Babylonians when they were taken captive. Now, we know the Jews were taken, Israelites were taken captive by the Babylonians at one point in time, okay? But here's the thing. The Jews already had a weekly cycle given to them by God. So if God already gave them a weekly cycle, why are they going to go with the Babylonians? That doesn't make sense. So if anything, the Babylonians adopted the weekly cycle from the Jews. That makes more sense to me. So The Egyptians, they say, astronomy.com says that the Egyptians had a 10-day week. So it wasn't set. Nothing set. I mean, the daily cycle is set. You can't change that. Monthly cycle, you can't change it. The yearly cycle is set. You can't change it. The weekly cycle, Babylonians said 7. Well, the Egyptians say we got a 10-day week. The Romans had an 8-day week, but they later adopted a 7-day week. So there's all these weeks that these different civilizations have used. Nothing concrete. Now, Botanica.com says something very interesting. They say that the seven-day weekly cycle was artificially devised with no astronomical basis. That's interesting. You've got a secular source saying that the weekly cycle, when it says artificially devised, it means something outside of the system set up the weekly cycle. Now, they don't say God. Well, we know it's God, you know. All right. And they use the word devised. When you look at the word devised, because if you bring it to the website, they have the word devised. It's like italicized, and you put your mouse on it, and then it can send you to another link. When you click that on, the word devised, it means to invent or plan. An outside entity invented and planned the weekly cycle. It also says something that is difficult or complicated. Now, this is a secular site saying this, Britannica.com, all right? So that means that someone with vast knowledge, intelligence, and forethought set up, instituted, planned out the weekly cycle, 7-day weekly cycle, okay? Now, that's in addition to everything that was created during the first week. So everything, not just the week, but everything after that still falls under God. And we're going to get into that. So Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3, we have the first week, or what we call creation week. So day one, what happened? God separated. I had a slide I wanted to use, but because of copyright issues, I didn't contact them enough time to see if I could use it, so I had to put this up. But it was really nice, too. But day one, what did God do? God separated the light from the darkness. There was light, separated the light from the darkness. Day two, God separated the waters above from the waters below. So we know that when God first created this world, there was an atmosphere of water vapor that we don't have now. That was there, okay? Day three, God gathered the sea, caused dry land to appear, and he caused seed-bearing vegetation to appear. So he pretty much separated the waters. There was a sea, he caused the dry land to show up. That's how we have what we have now. Now, there's been some deviations, variation from what the original was, but this is what we have now, the continents and everything. Day four, God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, what's interesting is you see in day one, God created light. He didn't create the sun on the first day. He created light. So there was already light before he made the sun. That's what day four. God made the sun, moon, and the stars to control the seasons. Okay? Day five, God created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. So the fowls in the air and that kind of thing. Things in the water, all right? Day six, God created the land animals, and then he created man or mankind, Adam and Eve, last, because he made all these things in order for man to be able to survive. He didn't create man first, let me make all this other stuff, because Adam and Eve wouldn't have been able to survive. All these other things had to be first. You get oxygen, you get the cycles, you get the things going on that will sustain human life. Planned out in order by an intelligence, not by accident. Day seven, God created the Sabbath day. He rested from his work. He blessed it and he sanctified it. He set it apart from all the other days. And then the cycle starts over. So, now if you notice, It says, in your Bible, it says, evening and morning was the first day, evening and morning was the second day. So when it says evening and morning, that refers back to the earth spinning on its axis, day and night, one day, one daily cycle, not a thousand-year period, no evolution. God made it. And the days are numbered. They're not named. Now, the names come about later. You got Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, named for Thor and Wednesday and the moon and the sun and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it's God numbered the days. He didn't give a name to the days. He just said the first day, second day, third day, and on. Because we're not supposed to worship, according to the first three commandments, anything outside of God. But once the days became numbered, then it's given credit to those entities, to those Roman and Greek gods and stuff. So, no astronomical reason. So the week was instituted by with a supernatural act by a supernatural being, God himself. Let's turn to Isaiah. You know you have in your handout there, Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 6. And so this is God giving, let me see what I want to say. I don't want to say credit, but God giving reinforcement, you know, re-encouraging us to understand this is him doing it. Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 6 says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. He's saying, I'm it. You don't look any further. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So God is saying, I'm the creator. I created this. I instituted this. I brought this about by my creative power. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22. Now here's God, even before they had satellites and, you know, telescopes and able to look out into space, God is already giving an indication of what the earth is like. It says what? It is he, talking about God, Isaiah saying, it is he, it is God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. God is already telling you the earth is round. There were some theories that the earth was flat. You could go there and then you're going to fall off. You know, we got a joke we talk about. If the earth was flat, all the cats would have knocked everything off by now. Wouldn't be anything left. You know, so the earth can't be flat because the cats would have knocked everything off. But he's saying, I sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. In the clear word, it says, we look like ants. So, you know, you got to be out in space to be able to look down and say, those people look like ants down there. You know, if you get in a tall building or you fly in a plane and you look down, I used to have to fly sometimes. You look down and you see everything gets smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, the people, they look like ants. They look real small. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. That's the blue sky. He has stretched it out for us. And spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. So the Bible makes no mistake about who God is, what he has done, and that his word is true and can be trusted. He's given scientific evidence that he did this. Okay, because we proved that. The earth is round, everything, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's one week, the creation week, gives credit to God. And there's no other way to explain it. There's no astronomical reason. There's no celestial reason to base it on. Just God instituted the seventh day weekly cycle. So are there any other weeks that have a supernatural appeal or influence in them? There's some, but I just want to cover two. I don't want to keep you all here till 3 o'clock. But so Noah and his family. Let's look at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 10. So we see that Noah and his family were what? They built an ark. Noah preached for what, 120 years? As they was building the ark, the ark got built. They got the animals to the ark. The clean went in by seven. The unclean went in by two. And then what happened? Once they got them all in, what's the scripture say? God sealed them in the ark for how long? 7 days. Why wasn't it 10? Why couldn't it have been 20? Why couldn't it have been three? You know, God sealed them in the ark for 7 days. He's given them a reminder of creation week. I created this. I'm going to destroy the world, but I can recreate it. He's given us a reminder of seven. Back to creation. It never rained before. Like I said, the atmosphere was water vapor. We read that in what? We go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, a mist would come up from the ground and would water the earth. It didn't rain. So here's Noah building this ark in the middle of nowhere. You know, he's got to be the laughingstock. Everybody's like, hey, man, what are you doing? Oh, I'm building this ark. God said to build this ark because it's going to rain. Rain? It's never rained before. What are you talking about? You done lost your mind, Noah. You need an antidepressant or something. Something, what's happening with you? That's what God told me. 120 years, he's building this ark in the middle of nowhere. Never rained before. Everybody's, okay, Noah, yeah. Boom, then it rains. Rain came from above, and it says the fountains of the deep broken up too. So water came from below. Rain from above, water from below. 40 days and 40 nights. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of water. So, supernatural event done by a supernatural being. Okay? So we see, and I'm going to go ahead of myself, but I'm going to put this out there. So the number seven, when you look at it in the Bible, it is associated with completeness and fullness. When the 7 day was created, God said, boom, the 7 days, he rested. It was complete. His creation was complete. Now, let's go to about the city of Jericho. Let me see. It should be next. Okay, there's the ark. Let me get that. Yeah, this is a little this cartoon picture of knowing the ark. All right. Got the animals going in. Okay. All right, next one. So, here's Jericho. So, in Joshua chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, so if you look on the screen, you'll see Jericho. Well, you're looking here. So, Jericho is right there. That's Jericho. So, the Israelites were told to do what? They were, Moses had died, Joshua had taken over, and this was the first city that the Israelites were going to take over, take command over, under Joshua. So, God said, look, you're going to go to Jericho. You're going to march around that city for what? How long? 7 days. Right. First day, march around it. Don't say a word. Don't make a noise. Just march around it. Go back. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. The seventh day, what'd they do? They marched around the city for seven times. Seven times on the seventh day, they marched around the city. Then they went to what? Blow the trumpet. Make as much noise as you can. Now, I got a question. How is walking around a city? I'm going to show you the city. This is some of the archaeological research that has been made about the city of Jericho. Now, it's got two walls. Now, the walls, if you look it up, the walls were about 12 feet tall, 6 feet wide at the base. They didn't have what we have now with modern, you know, architectural structure to where you can go straight up like our skyscrapers. Now, they had to start off at the base wide and then work their way up to support what they had to do. So it was 12 feet tall, 6 feet wide at the base. They had towers that were approximately 28 feet tall and 30 feet wide at the base. So how is it that you can have a group of people walk around a city of this size and then the last day do it seven times and then shout and make noise and the walls fall down? How is that possible? I don't get it, you know? Supernatural act brought about by a supernatural being. It says, if you go back and you look, it says that this happened when they marched around. It was around 1400 BCE, before Common Era. The World History Encyclopedia says that the ridge of this city, most cities, they start out one way, then another civilization come in and either tear it down or improve upon it. And that's what happened with Jericho. It was originally built, now this built, this was their numbers, 9,000 BC, I don't think it was that long ago, but, and it was the oldest known protective wall in the world. So this was one of the first cities built in the world. And that's interesting too, that God would choose to bring down the world's first city that was built by man. Wasn't built by God, built by man. So again, city of Jericho, the wall was brought down. Supernatural event brought about by a supernatural being. By like what we studied in Sabbath school, by the people being obedient. Now, if they decide, we don't want to march, that sounds silly, God. We're going to march seven around this city and it's going to cause it to fall. No, we're not going to do that. It wouldn't have happened. But because they were obedient, then it took place. That's for our lives today. God may ask us to do something. Man, do what? Man, God, that sounds silly. I don't want to do that. If we obey, God will make things happen. Think about Nathan. You know, he had leprosy. Oh, I need to get rid of his servant girl who was a Jew. Say, hey, I know somebody I can go talk to try to get you healed. Okay, go talk to him. She went after the prophet. Hey, tell him to do this. Go wash in the River Jordan. That dirty river? Oh, I got leprosy. I need to go do something clean. She says, look, just go do it. He went and did it. Boom, he got clean. We just have to obey. So in closing, that's my two stories there for that. So in closing, there are many things. Let me see if I have anything else. Here we go. There's my last one. So in many things that we experience in our lives that seem to have simple and reasonable explanations, we can say, okay, I see this and I can understand that. It makes sense to me. You know, see that day in, day out. Sun comes up, sun goes down, we don't have to worry about it. But then there's some things that happen, and we're like, well, how does that work? You know, I mean, I'm sure all of us aren't computer technicians, but you know, we turn our computer on, we hit a few buttons, click the mouse a couple times, things go the way we want it to. I mean, just a Word document. I don't know how that stuff works, but some scientists made it happen. I don't understand, but I just know it works. So there's some things that we don't understand, but there's things that we do know that makes all this possible, and that's God. From the sun coming up to the sun going down to us taking our breath, lying down at night, getting up in the morning. That's not by accident. God wakes us up every morning. So we have to give him glory and honor. So he is the creator. He put everything in his order. Not the way we thought it. What did he tell Job? Where were you when I did all this? Because Job had questions for God. God said, where were you, Job? You wasn't even around when I made this. So it's not up to us. He don't need our advice. He don't need our opinion. He don't need our consultation. Hey, man, what do you think I should? God don't, no. God does his thing his way. And the universe obeys it. We still going around the sun. It's in its order. And just to add clarity to it, the earth goes around the sun. The moon goes around the earth. And we're on the earth while it's spinning. You know, the sun is in orbit also. The sun isn't just stationary. The sun is in orbit in the universe. So all these things are going on that we got no idea how this stuff is happening. But God's got it under control. And so the seven-day weekly cycle is proof of God's existence. There's no other reason. You can't base it on any kind of celestial body, any type of astronomy. God made it happen. And we all go by it today. I mean, think about even our dating system. We have what, BC, AD. Who's that based on? Jesus Christ. They can change it. They say, oh, now it's called the before common era. You know, they try to get off of, no. You can't get around that. I don't care what you do, no. It's based on Christ's death. The whole world is doing that. Now, the Jews have their own system. They say now it's like 5,700 and something on their daily calendar or whatever. But everything else is based on one man. You can't get around that. It's there. Just be happy and accept Christ. You know, Jesus, I know someone has a favorite verse they like to use, and I got it for this one too. But, you know, like it was brought up in Sabbath school, you know, we all have questions, but God has answers for us. Jesus said what? The scripture says what? Come, let us reason together. You got answers? You got questions? I got answers. But we have to be willing to accept the answer God is going to give us. We got our own ideas. That's fine. You got your own way. You're thinking, okay, that's fine. That's no problem. But God said, look, come sit down and let me teach you how it really is. We got to be open to it. So come, God said, let us reason together. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the word that we have, that we refer back to and study and read. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us additional insight and wisdom and discernment to your word. Lord, may we continue to stay in your word. May we look upon creation week as your crowning act of creation, that you created this world and you created us, and everything in the Bible is true according to your will and to your purpose. Be with us now as we depart this place, but never from doing your will. These things we ask and thank in Jesus' name. Amen.